Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Nazir, daf Samach Gimel. Today's daf is Nazir, daf Samach Dalet. We continue in our conversations of Tum. Yesterday we brought up the topic of Tumas Tehoim in Aziris. Today we're going to focus on more on the base about Tumas Tehoim. I'm also going to focus on a more abstracting of Tumat Safa, floating Tumma on water. We'll get into that in a moment. Just one quick, tomorrow's daf is also going to be Vayit about Tumma, about moving a maze. The Masechta Emir Tzachem ends in 2 days from now. We'll finish the Masechta. Really, from here to the end, is very much focused on Tum until we get to a little bit more conversation about the type of Nazir that Shmuel was right towards the end of the Masechta. Okay, so one quick point from yesterday's daf. Yesterday, the Gemara proposed a Shaila, which Mefarash explains really that there's a clear raya for the Mishnah right away, and it must be Rabbi Chama didn't even have the Mishnah with Bechidish, but there was a Shaila posed whether or not someone who finds out, you know, we have this concept of Tumas Tehoim. If one only finds out about Tumas Tehoim after Giluach, the Mishnah had said, as long as he's Becheskes Tara, such a person can count as a Zeris. He's not saying he's a Zeris. The Shaila was, what if he found out, the Rambam Chama asked almost the identical Shaila, what if he finds out after his term was finished that he was Tumi during the term, is it going to be Seisr or not? The Gemara qualifies the Shaila to be whether it's going to be Seisr the full 30 or only Seisr Zion. Seisr full 30 only Seisr Zion. We know if he finds that after Giluch Tobas Tehoim, it's not Seisr Bechlal, but if he finds that before Giluch, it's Seisr 30 or Seisr Zion. The Gemara came out ultimately and said, Benkach hu Benkach. The Gemara quoted the Mishnah, and or the Lashon of the Mishnah says, Benkach Benkach Seisr, which we interpret it to mean, like a Mifigia, there's no Machlekes, we interpret that during the Shiur yesterday to mean, Benkach Benkach. It's Seisr, and there's no Machlek is the Mishnah, which means it's Seisr all 30 days. That's how we interpret it, which is really the simple Taish of the Mishnah. We weren't wrong about the simple Taish of the Mishnah, but when I was learning yesterday with Rabbi Kanner, we noticed that the Rush, again, it's definitely not the Pashtus in the Mishnah, it's, you have to know how it stems, but the Rush learns that Benkachu Benkach means we don't make a distinction, and therefore it's going to be only 7 days. Of course, Rabbi Lezer, at least, it'll only be Seisr 7 days, not 30 days. So just to point out, again, the way we learned is definitely certainly the simple reading of the Mishnah and the Gemara being a riot wouldn't Pashas mean 30 days, but the Rush does not learn the way. The Rush learns it means 7 days. Okay, so top line, bottom lines on Samach Gimel Beis. Three lines on the bottom of the page. Safa, we had discussed in the Mishnah case where a person went to the Yarad, he went to the mikveh in the cave, and there was a mace. If the mace was floating on top of the mikveh, that's called Tumi Yadua, even though he obviously hadn't noticed the mace, but it was noticed afterwards. But the point is, the mace floating on top is a Tumi Yadua. It's a known Tumah. It does not represent the leniency of Tumas Tahim. If the mace was Shakua, all the way in the recess, in the bottom of the mikveh, that was the leniency of Tumas Tahim, of the unknown Tumah. So on this topic of floating in the water, says the Gemara as follows. Ketzad Yarad. Ketzad Yarad, the Mishnah said, what's the case of Tumat Tehoim? He goes to the mikveh. Again, if it's floating, it's not, it's Yadua. If it's not floating, the mace is on the base, it's Tumat Tehoim. Tzafa Einam Atam Liyacheres. The Gemara now really introduces a separate topic. There are Mishnayas about this. The Gemara is going to quote the Tanya Braisa, but there are clear Mishnayas about this in Masechtas Taros. We are discussing as follows. The halacha is that if you have a sheretz and it's floating on the water, there's a special leniency that when there's a suffix of whether one came in contact with a sheretz that was floating on the water, we say a suffix lakula. Now, let's just understand the case. We know we have a klal. Suffix tumah b'rishis rabim is tar anyway. We go lakula, we say it's tar. Suffix tumah b'rishis yach, we go lachumra, and we say it's tummy. Suffix tumah b'rishis yach, we go lachumra, and we say it's tummy. What's the basis for this? We've spoken this out many times. Saita. Saita is a suffix that she became tummy. And it's the Rishus HaYachid, so to speak, it's just her and the suspected adulterer being the Yachid alone in the room. And we assume guilty till innocent. We essentially assume Vinitma that she became Tameh until she drinks the waters and proves her innocence. We assume Tumah. So we see over there, Safik Tumah, Rishus HaYachid is Tameh. If there's Rishus Rabim, which we've explained, Rishus Rabim doesn't mamish Rishus Rabim, means if there's multiple people there, more than two people there, then it's Rishus Rabim. Then we go to Kulan Seitar. We'll point out shortly later in the shir today that this idea, when saying we learn from Seita, Pashas outside gets a dinder Reisa, Rambam learns in Asmach Tabalma, really Safik Tumah, even Rishus Yachid, Me'ikir Dimat Terah should be Tar. Only Midrabanan is a tummy. Rambam learns that an ayin compared to Seita. Asmachta is just a Rambam's Asmachta. Okay, but the Pasha says there's some sort of clear limud from Seita to Safak Tum Rishus Yachid, and we go to Chumra and say tummy. We have a leniency over here that by Sheretz, even Rishus Yachid, we have the Safak, if one person touched the Sheretz or not, and it's floating on the water, if it's floating on the water, we have leniency to be based on Pesukim, we'll see in a moment, we go to Kula and we say it's Totar. That's the basic din by Sheretz. Says this Gemara now. Tzafa ain't a metamelin sheretz. If it's floating on the water, the sheretz, it doesn't. It's not tamei. The tiny like the bray tzafa to metzafa. Bein bekelim, bein bekarka tayra. Reb Shimon Amar bekelim tamei bekarka tayra. So everyone agrees. If you have a sheretz floating in the water and it's tzafa can be touched or not, we go in bekula. We say yitar. Even shus yachid. What's the machlekes tanakam Reb Shimon? Is it dafka when the sheretz is floating loose, just floating in the water by itself? What if the sheretz is in a kli and the kli is on the water? What's the lumdus of the shaila? It's going to be based on the Rosh Hapsukim. But in lumdus, we can say a very clear lumdus. If you look at the sheretz itself, it's resting in a kli. It's not floating. The kli is floating, but the sheretz is resting in a kli. And therefore, maybe it should be regular suffix to Mishas Yachin, and it should be tamei. Or do you say, since overall it's floating in the water, you still have that leniency? So the Tanakhama says, Bein Bekeilim Bein Bekarka, Tar, it's Tar. Rav Shimon says, Bekeilim Tamei, Bekarka Tara. If in the kli, it's going to be tamei. You don't have leniency of floating, where if it's not in the kli, if it's on the ground, it's going to be tar. I think again, what it means is it's not in a container. That's what it means. It's not in a container. It's going to be tar. Okay.
On the ground means
it means no interposition with the kli. Yeah, that's I'm understanding it. Yeah, that's correct. Okay. Says if you look at the last farish on the page, last words of the page. Look at farish. Bain sheet suffer b'mayim shebekalim, bain b'mayim shebekakatera. Oh, so you know what? I stand corrected. I got ahead of myself. The case over here is where, my mistake, the case over here is slight difference. Either we're talking about water on the ground, so it's on the water, that's still correct, that part's still the same. It's on the water that's on the ground, or it's in a kli, but in water in the kli. What I was saying a minute ago is going to be later in the Gemara. Not that it's in a kli and the kli's on the water. That's going to be later. That's going to be the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara's going to have a list of seven Shailas, which is going to kill any suspense. It's going to end up in Teiku. Seven shailas on this topic will end up in Teiku, but over there it talks about the case where it's in the kli and the kli's in the water. Our case right now, I jumped out of myself, our case right now is it's in water in a kli. So the shaila was, do we say the leniency of floating, the sheretz floating on the waters, whether the water's in the kli, and certainly when the water's on the ground, or only when the water's on the ground, but if the water's in the kli, you don't have the leniency of Tumat Safa. That was the shayla. That's the machlekes Tanakama and Reb Shimon. Tanakama says, Sai water in the kli, Sai water on the ground. Reb Shimon says, no, dafka water on the ground, not water in the kli. My time with Tanakama, what's the Tanakama that says doesn't make a difference where it is? Amar Bitzabar Avdimi, Avdumi, Siv b'chol sheretz ha-sheretz. Pasta says, b'chol sheretz ha-sheretz, that's mashma, kol makam shu sheretz. That's mashma, as long as you touch the sheretz, wherever it is, you're tummy. But then it says alaretz. Sounds like dafka on the ground. Okay, so how do we reconcile these two psukim? Wherever it is, with dafka on the ground. Vade magoi tamei. If you for sure touch the sheretz, then no matter where it is, you tamei. If we know for sure 100%, no doubt, he touched the sheretz, whether it's on the ground, whether it's on water on the ground, whether it's on water in the kli, for sure, tamei. Suffolk magoi tar. What we learn from this, kind of the stira is that whenever it's a suffolk, if you touch it, it's going to be tar. Whenever it's suffolk. Doesn't make a difference if a suffolk. If we touched it, water on the ground or water in a kli, as long as it's a suffolk, it's going to be tar. That's Tanakama. Reb Shimon, what he argues, he says, no, dafka when the water is on the ground, not when the water is inside a kli. Reb Shimon, my taima, amarula ksiv achmayin uksiv yitma. It says achmayim, the lashon of achmayim means, but if it's a spring, it'll be tar. But then later the pasuk says, yitma, it'll be tamei. Hakei, it's tamei to the erev. Hakei, it's on. So how do we reconcile the psukim, whether it's tar or tamei, when it's by the water? Suffa bekalim tamei. When it's on the water, but in a kli, it'll be tamei. When it's on the water, but bekarka, if it's on the water, but the water's on the ground, tar, then it would be tar. Okay. So that is the machlekes. The sheretz on water is tar. That's the general rule. Sheretz floating on water is tar. Again, only by a suffolk. If you value the touch, greasy tummy. If it's a suffolk, we're saying suffolk, if it's a sheretz on water, is tar. That's certainly water on the ground. But water in a kli is a machlekes. Tanakhama says also tar, and Reb Shimon says that's tummy. Before we go further, the Gemara. Taisus over here addresses a question, which is really, the Chorim are very bothered. The Gemara seems to address it in the next line. Taisus says, we're talking about floating on water. What's going to be if it's floating through the air? I mean, the Chorim, if someone threw something, has something flow through the air, as you know, before the days of airplanes, whatever it may be, has something flown through the air, someone threw it, someone threw the sheretz. Taisus discusses what's going to be if it's floating through the air, what's going to be with something that was essentially thrown. The question is, the Gemara itself right away is going to address Nizrukin in a moment. It's going to be coming up in this immediately in this brayso that we're about to discuss in three lines from now. So the shaila is, what's Tosfos asking different than the Gemara's discussion or reference to Nizrukin? So the Acharei give various answers, but the Chazanish points out that there's two different types of Nizrukin. There's Nizrukin literally through the air. That's Tosfos' question. That's not the Gemara's question, or not the Gemara's discussion. When you throw something through the air, and it's a suffix, if you touch it while it's in the air, that's Tosfos' question. Is it a vert while it's moving, or is it a vert dafkan mayim? Tosfos' debating whether or not Nizrukin through the air has the same leniency or not. That is Tosfos' shaila. The Gemara is going to discuss a case where it was thrown across the water. So it's in the water, it's on water, but like, you know, the person throws rocks, you know the rocks to balance across the water. He threw the item, he gave it a shove across the water. So it was thrown across the water. That is where the Gemara is talking about Nizrukim, but not when it's thrown in the air. And that's between the Gemara's discussion at Taisa Shaila. That's the Chazanish learns. Let's see the next Gemara inside. Tarabar. Kolani Talin Banagran. Any tuma that was being carried or dragged, Sveka Tame. If it's a suffix, if it came in contact, if someone touched it or not, it's going to be tummy. Why? Ayla Chayr was saying that if it's like floating on the water, then it's tar. Over here we say if someone's dragging it up or pulling it, that's not considered floating. What's that? Since it's being held by the person, it's not considered a floating tumma. Since it's being held by a person, the person's dragging it. He's pulling, maybe he's pulling on a string, but he's the person is in control of it. That's considered carrying or dragging it. Therefore, it's considered not tumma tzafa. It's considered held by a person. And therefore, the suffix, we're talking about suffix tumma shis yachin, still a suffix. And therefore, we go to the chumra, we say, tummy, you don't have the leniency of suffix tar by floating. Meishayim nachum, because it's as if it's at rest. Hanizrakim, but if it was thrown, so again, Chaznish is learning over here that Nizrakim is a continuation of the last case, that Nitalin and Agrarin were being Nitalin and Agrarin along the water, and here we're saying, if you just to pause for a second, jump into the second Tosfos, top of the page, Kol Nitalin, Adam Aymed B'mayim, V'chivrei Hayim Mishalshel, V'chaveri Hayim Mishalshel, Sheretz. A person standing in the water, and his friend is pulling along the water a sheretz. So the clearly Tais is learning that the Nitalin and Gerurim is being schlepped across the water. So Chazanish says very geshmak. Nizrakin also means not the pashta thrown in the air. That's Tais Shalla. Nizrakin there means thrown across the water. And we say over there, Sveika Tar, over there Suffolk is taka going to be Tar, because that has the mile of being across the water. And it's even though it was thrown as force of a human, it's still floating across the water. Therefore, it's going to be Tar. Chutz, except for the following cases. Kazayis min ames, chutz min kazayis ames, a kazayis of the mace, v'amayel al pnei ha-tumma, a kazayis of the mace, or something which forms an oil over tumma, v'chol davar shemetame mamalik lamata, or anything that makes tumma above as below. Famous case of that is, of course, a zav, zava, that sit on 10 mattresses, all 10 mattresses, even the bottom one is tumme, or opposite, if there's a bunch of blankets covering him, even though he's not touching the uppermost blankets, they become tummy as well. Vasui zava zava. That's coming to include the case of zava zava zava. So whether it's tumas mace, whether it's tumas zava, in those cases, we're not going to go lakula. We're going to say when there's a suffix, if these tumas were touched, we go lachumra over there and we say it's going to be tummy. We don't have this leniency of this Tumma tzaf. Where you have a tumma that's of a level of chumra that has this din of tumma mamal kilmata, like zava zava, or tumma mace that has a din of ayel, those type of tummas, if there's a suffix, if you touched it, we go the chumra, the regular chumra, we're not going to go the kula. Okay. By Rambachama. So Rambachama now introduces the shailas. We're going to end up with seven shailas. I believe it's seven. And the last word of the page, you can just scroll to the bottom of the page. Last word of Amun Alf is teku. Last word of Amun Alf is teku. So we're going to leave them Amrizal. By Rambachama. Meis b'kli, b'kli tzaf al pnei ha-mayim. So this is the case that I jumped the gun earlier. The case we discussed earlier was where you have a sheretz floating in water and the water's on the ground, or a sheretz floating in water and the water's in a kli. That was the machlekes earlier, the water in the kli. Our case now is the sheretz is directly in the kli, no water separating them. It's sitting and resting in the kli, but the kli is floating on water. Meis b'kli, mace instead of sherets. Mace b'kli, v'kli tzaf al pnei ha-mayim. If the mace is in a kli and the kli is floating on the water, mahu. The suffix, if someone touched his mace, what's the halacha? Basa kli has linan. Do you go based on the kli and the kli is floating? Basa misa has linan. Or do you go basa, some switch the gears from misa to based on the basa maya has linan. Do you go based on the kli and the kli
and the kli is floating, or do you go based on the mace? We'll go to the gears we have ibasa mace. We go based on the mace, and the mace itself is stationary. The mace itself is stationary. It's in the kli. It's resting, and therefore it's not considered floating, and it wouldn't have the leniency. Again, they just to point out, we're touching it the way the gears that we have misa. The goyin switches it to baser from misa to maya. Takes out the suf and makes it maya. Okay, imtim tzleimer lav baser kli azlinim. If you say that we don't go based on the kli, meaning we don't treat it like the kli is floating, rather we treat it as if the mace is resting, and therefore it's going to have tuma. What if it's mace lagabe sheretz ma'am? What if the mace is resting on a sheretz? Kivin dehai, meaning, now there's more reason to say it's floating. Why? Because the sheretz itself is tuma, and it's floating on the water, and the mace is further tuma on top of the sheretz. It's resting on the sheretz, which is floating on the water. Do we say e kli? We look at the mace as if it's fully resting. It's resting within the kli. But over here, where the mace on the sheret itself, and the sheret itself is also a tumah that's floating. So we see the whole thing as a tumah that's floating, and we go lakula. Or do we say that, no, I'm speaking outside, that was an inside. Since the din tumah of sheret is different than the din tumah of mace, sheret's only tumah for one day. Mace gives off tumah for 7 days. Since it's a type of tumah, legabe the mace, the sheret is like a kli. And therefore, vaito be considered resting. Says Gemara. Mace, I got a sheretz mao. Even the height tumas erev, the sheretz only din tumas erev. Height tumas shiva, whereas the mace has been din of tumas shiva. Command de machsa tumah pekli dami. Therefore, we view it as if the tumah is placed inside a kli again, and therefore we're assuming now in terms of limber that that will be considered resting in the kli and it'll be tumah. Aydilma tumah smiti. It's one big thick tumah. It's one big mixture, mass of tumah, and it's all floating, and therefore we'd go lakula. If you say you look at it as if the mace is on top of the sheretz, which is because of a lesser status of tumah, it's as if it's in a kli, and therefore we'd go to chumra, v'tame vaday, and therefore it's going to be vaday tumah. We'd say misafik, if you touch it, we treat it as if it's vaday tumah. What about the following case? Sheretz akab nevelum nevelet safama. What if the sheretz on top of nevelum nevelet safama? Meaning the mace was tumah to shiva, where the sheretz only tumah one day. What if you have a sheretz and a nevelum, which are both only tumah for one day? Kima the javah tumah's erev, and since they're both only tummy till nightfall. We say tumas michti, it's one big tumma and it's all floating. The shear is different. The shear of nevela is a kazayas. The shear of tumma by sheretz is even a kadasha, a lentil. And since the shear is different, the shear of dasha is only lentil, maybe we view the nevela as being like a kli holding the sheretz, and the sheretz would have a din of being stationary, not floating, and therefore it would be, suffolk would be tummy. Says the Gemara further, sheretz agabi sheretz mahu. What's going to be the case by a sheretz on top of another sheretz? Hani vaday chad shirin, since they're both the same sheretz, both the same tumma. So vaday is one shear, and therefore it's all considered one big floating tumma. And you go to kula. Or do we say no? Since lemaisa you have the water, sheretz number one on top of the water, sheretz number two on top of the sheretz number two is separated from the water, and therefore it's considered, and it's resting on the sheretz number one, and therefore maybe it would be considered not floating. And if you say sheretz agabe sheretz, keep the mafsek adali, since the tzak of the upper sheretz is separated from the water at the bottom, command the manchah b'klidam, it's tantamount, it's comparable to being placed in a kli, and therefore would not be considered tzafa, and would not be considered, would not go l'kula, would be considered suffik, would be tamei. Sheretz agabe nevela sheni muchamau. What if you have the sheretz back to nevela, but the nevela has somewhat disintegrated? The nevela has kind of deteriorated into like this like a, you know, this softer texture. So, and the softer texture, it's still floating in the water, and the sheretz on top of the softer texture. Do we say keep it in the mucha, have like mashka? Once it's deteriorated, it's kind of like a mashka itself, and therefore it's not a separation, and the sheretz is considered to be floating on the water. No, since the sheretz was originally a food, so to speak, it was a solid. I think means it was solid. It was more of a solid, and it continues to be treated like a solid, and it's considered as if the sheretz is still separated. Vimtim Salaimar, final Shaila, and if you say the uchlu that we treat the sheretz the nevela that disintegrated, we treat it like a food still. Sheretz agabe shichva zera mahu. What if the sheretz was floating on top of shichva zera? Sorry, this is actually the second shaila. A sheretz is floating on top of shichva zera. Shichva zera is. What's the shaila? Interesting, the Gemara does seem to bring a shaila that because it's maybe of a thicker texture than regular mayim, I mean, that's probably the basis of the shaila, but the Gemara seems to make the shaila totally in a different svara. What's the shaila? The shaila is totally in whether or not, since it comes from a person, it came from a body, and the body of a person is certainly more solid. It's not considered, even though it's comprised very much of of liquid of blood, but it's overall it's body person solid. Therefore, we consider it as if the sheretz is separated by something solid, and it's separation from the water. Or no, it's liquid enough that it's considered the sheretz is floating on the water. If you're going to say that since the shechazera came from the body, it's treated like a solid. What about mechatas waters, pardum waters, sheretz? That's the waters that you put the ashes in. Sheretz agave mechatas, mechatas suffered up agave mayim. The sheretz on top of mechatas, and the mechatas was the pardum waters were floating on top of the water. Do we say mahu? Do we say the sheretz is separated from the water itself, and therefore it's not floating? It's resting on the mechatas, or do we say it's all floating on the water? The mechatas waters is really floating together with the other waters. The idea is that the mechatas waters obviously are somewhat a little thicker, otherwise the sheretz wouldn't even be resting on the mechatas waters. It would right away mix together. Obviously the mixture of the ash into the mechatas waters gives it a little bit, as Rishonim explained, a little bit of thickness, a little more than regular water, and therefore and it's a little somewhat separate, it's floating somewhat on top of the water, and the sheretz on top of it, what's going to be lach there, le'adinan, teku. The Gemara says, le'adinan, interesting, lashim in otubi gaf, le'adinan, teku. We don't know the resolution to any of these shaylos. We leave them unresolved. Rambam. You just asked by Shechazer. I didn't say al pnei amayim. By the mechatas early cases, it was saying al pnei and something. Or many of the cases said al pnei amayim. Didn't say al pnei amayim by all the cases. It said only by some. Didn't say by all. So why did it go back to mechatas al pnei amayim? I'm not sure. Okay. So the Rambam paskins the kula. The Rambam paskins the kula that by all, that when we're in doubt by these sveikas of these tumas tafa, we go to the kula. The idea of why is pass the kula? Because I must hold that the whole din, this whole din is in the Rabbanan, and therefore you go to the kula. Kasmesh elaborates, it's really Ram l'shtasai. Ramam holds, meaning really I'd say it the other way. If you hold, we reference this right in the beginning. If you hold that the din of tumma suffix tumma, in Rishis Rabbim is tar, suffix, which we spoke at earlier in this Masechet, not so long ago, a couple weeks ago, that Taisus learned that whole din is really not a din learned from Saita. As a general din, a person's Bechas is tar, remains tar, suffix Rishis Rabbim is tar, because why would a person keep his chazaka? But the Chiddush from Saita is suffix tumma, which is a yachid, is tame that we learn from Saita. So Rambam learns that that's not a real full-fledged drasha or halach mashe Sinai. It's not a full-fledged dindaraisa. That is an asmachta balma, and it's really dindarabanan. And therefore, in our case, where we have this list, I believe it's seven svekas, we have all these different svekas relating to safek tum b'shusha yachid, and we leave unresolved, we're going to go to kula because it's all darabanan. It's Rambam b'shusha, says the Kas Mishnah, that the whole din of safek tum b'shusha yachid tamik is anyway a dindarabanan. It's really a asmachta balma from the seita, but it's a dindarabanan. And therefore, when we're in doubt, that our sugya take was unresolved, and we're going to go lakula. But there is another conversation on our whole topic. We brought up a conversation when you have something floating in the water, we have this leniency, tumma floating in the water, that we say, suffolk, if you touched it, one's going to be tar. If you go to kula, even if you go to kula. And we have a shayla, that if it's in a kli, for our first shaylas, that if it's in a kli, and the kli is in the water, what's going to be the din if it's in the kli and the kli is on the water? So the Achrayim are very bothered. There's a black and white Mishnah in Masechtas Parah. It's also Mishnah's repeated, like many Mishnahs, in Masechtas Idyas, or repeats from Mishnahs elsewhere. It's repeated in Masechtas Idyas as well. The halacha is that let's say you have pardum waters. And pardum waters are in a kli cheres. Kli cheres is only metame, only septa tumah from the inside. So if tumah is on the outside of the kli, the pardum waters remain tar, gavaldik, it's protected because kli cheres is only metame from the air, from the avir, from the inside. It's even the airspace alone, but it's got to be from the inside, not from the outside. What if the klicheres was placed on a sheretz? What if the klicheres was resting on a sheretz? The Mishnah says over there that the mechatas, the pardum waters, are tummy, are going to be puzzle. Even though we just said it does not become tummy for the outside, if it's placed on a sheretz, if it's resting on a sheretz, it's going to be pardum waters are going to be puzzle. Why? Because the pasuk describes that you should put the pardum waters b'makam tar. It's got to be makam tar. And if it's resting on a klicheres, then it's not considered b'makam tar, and it's going to be puzzle. Now, isn't that a clear raya that you don't go based on the kli alone, you go based on the base, meaning you have the pardum waters in the kli. And we're saying the pardum waters are not considered resting the makam tar because it's resting on top of a sheretz. But there's a kli interposed, there's a kli in between. Elamai, even though the pardum waters is in the kli, we don't view it from in a vacuum, but we just see it in the kli. We see where the kli is, what the kli is resting on, and that gives it a status of to be called makam tar. It's not a makam tar, it's called a makam tameh. So by the same token, in our case, when you have the mace in the kli, and the kli is on the water, why are we debating whether we view it as if the mace is floating, or it's in the kli, and it's resting in the kli, and therefore it's not considered floating? We see from pardum waters, we look at it based on what it's resting on ultimately, in the case of the Bar Aduma, resting on the sheretz made a tummy. So to here, we should go to Kula and say it's on the water, it's floating, because the Kli is floating, and therefore it should vadei be tar. That is the question that the Achorinim asked. Why don't we make a comparison? So the simple answer that Achorinim gives, Mishnah Achorinim says, that we find by Bar Aduma many chumras. We find there's many chumras, whether derais or drabbanon, most of them seem to be drabbanon, that because they were makel, and they would do it b'tzvulyayim. They purposely do it b'tzvulyayim, even though even before Hev Shemesh they would do the paraduma just to show the stukim, show the stukim wrong. So they make many other chumras, raising their children in these areas that are al kevertayim cliffs that have no tuma. These children are raised in this utopian area where they can't, they don't become tame, and they use them to bring the ashes. We have all this on top of animals, on top of doors that fight to protect from tuma. We have all these special processes and every. Of by the paraduma, and we know this that Tyradin, that whoever deals with the paraduma becomes tame, as like a black and white in the psukim. So we know paraduma has its own chumras, its own special dinim legabi tuma. So the fact that over there resting on ultimately on a sheretz is not called makam tar, and therefore leads to tuma, wouldn't be a riot tar shayla. That is how the Mishnah Chorina is mechalik. I was thinking on my own. I'm just thinking actually literally right now during this year that maybe there's another teretz over there. Paraduma waters, yes, the ash itself could be contained, separate, not even out, it could be outside of Kli, it could just be resting on its own. But by definition, water, paradum water, has to be contained in something. It's got to be, so when you say, go take it and put it in makam tar, what does it mean, put it in makam tar? It's always going to be in a Kli. It's always going to be in a Kli. So makam tar over there by definition means the Kli has to be makam tar. So over there, of course, wherever the Kli is, that's the status of being called the makam tar or not. But a piece of sheretz, a piece of mace that's in a Kli, it's on the water, it didn't have to be in a Kli, in the water, it could be in the water directly. And therefore, you're keeping me a raya from the din of paraduma waters, that when the pasuk says makam tar, to our shayla, the raya itself, the tushta of a cloud, could be, is not a good tushta, because you cannot compare this scenario of paraduma waters where the Torah is talking about in a Kli to our case in our sikha. Okay, perhaps. Says the more top of Amun Beis. Back to Nazir. Back to Tumas Tahim. Nazir, I'm Rav Nuna. Nazir Vaisa Pesach. A Nazir, or someone who's going through the car, Pesach, Shalchim, a Kever, a Tahim, Rishvi Shalahim. They walked over a Kever of Tahim on their seventh day. So they're on the seventh day, remember, a person's tummy, Tumas Meis, has to have Paraduma water spritz on day 3 and day 7. This Nazir, or this Vaisa Pesach, had already been going through the process. They're on day 7 already. And then, unfortunately, they went over to Tumas time, unbeknownst to them at that time. Otherwise, if you do it at that time, it's really a problem. Unbeknownst to them at the time. They went and did the karbanis they're supposed to do of Nazir or of Pesach. And then they found out later, post facto, halachas tahirim, they're going to be tar. My time, la'alim Tumas time, la'mitzir. Because Tumas time does not destroy, doesn't cause them to lose, to forfeit what they've kept till now. Similar to what we had in yesterday's daf about Tumas time in the Mishnah, about Tumas time not being seiser, the days in his ears, they already counted. It's not to say it doesn't mess him up for Karban Pesach. It doesn't mess him up for the Karban Pesach that he brought, or from the Nazir Karban that he brought. Again, it doesn't say clearly he brought already. I'm assuming, my understanding is that he already brought the Karban. I think I saw clear in one of the Rishonim. We're talking about where we found out about the time after the Karbanos were already done, already brought. Okay. Says the Gemara, Masav Rava, Yar the Tamei Tumas, Ameis Tamei. So Rava asks, look at our Mishnah. If he's going down to become Tar from Tumas Meis, the halach is, he's tamei, shecheskas tamei, tamei, cheskas tar tar. L'chayr, this Rav Nuna's din is geared to the Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we said you have three klalim. It's got to be found out after the tiglachas aleph. That's klal number one. Klal number two is, it's got to be tumas time. It's an unknown tumma. Obviously, they found out about it, but it was an unknown tumma to anyone at the time. And klal number three is, he had to have been becheskas tara. If he's becheskas tumma, then we don't apply this. And here in Rav Nuna's case, l'chayr is becheskas tumma. So why are we saying this klal, that's tumas time, and it's carbon pesach, it's carbon nazir, it's still going to be kosher? Amalei, so Rav Nuna is back. Medina Lach Benazir. It's a Shaila. Rush actually learns not enough Ramuna responding to Rava's question. It's Abaye responding on behalf of Ramuna. But we'll go with the Pashup Shat that it's Rav Ramuna responding to Rava. Medina Lach Benazir Shemuchutz Teglachas. I agree with you by Nazir that was to Mechutz Teglachas, meaning the case of Nazir in our Mishnah, where he hadn't done Teglachas yet, so he wasn't really out of the Parsha yet. He wasn't out of the Cheskas Tum, he wasn't yet Tar. And a Chaim over there, Itaka would be Saiser. In my case, from Nuna says, my case over here, on Samatana Beis, on top of my case, I'm talking about where he already done Teglachas, he was totally out of the, he had done all the process of becoming Tar. We'll see, he's still missing nightfall here of Shemesh, but it's day 7, he's done the mikveh, he's done the teglachas already, and therefore, in my case, he's considered becheskas tara enough that the din of tumas time, the leniency, would apply. The Mishnah's case didn't apply because he hadn't done teglachas yet. That's my distinction, says Rav Amnuna. So I agree to the case of the Mishnah. My case is different. Amalei Ravus, Ravus is back. Let's go with the separating to Rav Amnuna. Ravus is back. Afana, according to Ravus talking to Abai now. Afana, Medina lach Pesach Pesach. I talk agree with you by the case of the Karm Pesach, where the fellow brought the Karm Pesach on Erev Pesach. It was the seventh day of his tara process. He had gone to the mikveh, had the waters sprinkled him already. He's talking, not missing anything. So that would be becheskas tara already. That wouldn't be a case. He finds out about tumas time afterwards. That happened after this, after going to the mikveh, after having the prior mortar sprinkled in him. He finds out about the tumas time. That would be a case where he's becheskas tahara, and therefore it would work. On that, he asks Abaye, what do you mean? Abaye, why is becheskas tahara? He's missing hair of shemesh. He went to the mikveh, had prior mortars, but he's only fully tar by nightfall. At that moment of time, Erev Pesach, when he hits the tumas time, he's still considered, he's not fully tar yet. How are you calling him becheskas tahara? He still needs hair of shemesh. He needs sunset. Abaye, v'mchusa hair of shemesh. He's missing hair of shemesh. Amalei, Rav Sebek Tabaye. Shimshim Mela Arva. That's not called, yes, he has to wait for Erev Shemesh, but that's not called not Becheskas Tara. Since he's done everything he needs to do, it's just a matter of waiting for time. It's Mechusar Azman. But he's done everything he needs to do to become Tar. That already gives him a status of being called Becheskas Tar, and that's enough to have this leniency of Tumas Tehoim. Says the Gemara, even though Abaye is one that asked the question about Erev Shemesh being an Ikuv, not being called Becheskas Tara, Abaye himself elsewhere agrees to this idea of Rava that Shimshim Mamela Arva, we say the sun sets by itself, and therefore it's not considered a lack of missing in his in a completion of a in this case, in our case, talking about completion of a Tara, in the case that we're going to talk about by Isha, who has Din Leida and Karbanas Leida, it's completion of her term, which would be Mechayev for a new carbon for a second birth, as we shall see. Vafa by Hadabe, Abai was Hadar, he agrees to Rava that the Shimshim Mel Arva Detayim, because we learned today Brisa. This is a conversation that comes up in the beginning of Pesachim. It comes up in a few places in Shas. But this is a discussion. We know the halacha is that if a woman gives birth, if she gives birth to a male, she's tummy for 7 days afterwards, and then there's 33 days of what's called Dmeitar, Damtar, and then the 40 days, she brings a carbon for giving birth. If she gives birth to a female, she's tummy for 14 days, then there's 66 days of Yemei Tara. We don't deal with Yemei Tara as much as that, but she has Yemei Tara for 66 days, and after 80 days, she's mechuyev to bring her carbon. What if she has another miscarriage of a 40-day pregnancy? She has a miscarriage in between, before 80 days, let's go with the 80-day case, she has a miscarriage of 40-day birth, but before 80 days, she's not mechuyev a separate carbon. If it's after 80 days, then any subsequent leida, even a miscarriage, would be mechuyev its own carbon leida. But if it's within 80 days, since the chiv of the first chiv didn't kick in yet, so one carbon would satisfy both. She still would have to wait again from the new miscarriage till the end of, let's assume, on the side it's a girl, till the end of 80 days to be in the carbon, 80 days from the miscarriage. But the point is, she'd have to bring in totality one carbon, not two. So let's see. Titania, Yai Malayas, maybe, if she has a miscarriage on the day of the Malayas, on the 80th day already, when she's bringing the carbon, or day 81, the halacha is she has to bring a separate carbon for the miscarriage because her you cannot include the miscarriage in that first leida. It's a separate chiyuv is kicked in. Teich malayis leidavi. But let's say on day 60 she has a miscarriage. So if she has a miscarriage on day 60, then she's not mechuyev a whole new separate carbon. She never got to Azman where she could bring the first carbon. One carbon will be enough at the end of another 80 days. One carbon will be sufficient. Yachol leitavi al leida shelfnei malayis. So it says the Braisa, an interesting question. What if she had a birth? Let's give it some dates. She had a birth, we'll call it January 1st. She gave birth. 80 days later, mid-March, she's up. She'd be up to bring a carbon. But before she got a chance to reach the 80 days, let's call it already in March 1st, before 80 days, only 60 days later, she already had a miss. So now we're saying that miscarriage is not mechuyev another carbon because it's included in the first carbon. What if from March 1st she has another miss 60 days later? So she's not 80 days out of the first miscarriage, the first nafil, but she is already, now we're already in May 1st, she already is more than 80 days out from the original leida that took place on January 1st. So would you say now at least with this third Leida, we'll call it, there's Leida 1, miscarriage 1, miscarriage 2. By miscarriage 2, she's chayav a separate carbon. So Yachla, I would think, Leida, Leida, Shofanim, Leias. A Leida that takes place, a miscarriage takes place before the Melias, for the 80 days, that she's exempt from being a separate carbon. Aval Tavia, Leida, Shalach, Melias. She should be chayav for a Leida that's after Melias, even though it's within 80 days of the prior miscarriage. She still should be chayav a second carbon. We learn that from when she completes her days of Tara, we dafka say Mimlais Biyam Lais Tavi, Techmaisa Tavi. Until she finishes a complete term, a complete 80 days with the Chiyav carbon, only then she mechiyav any miscarriage after that a new carbon. But until she gets that Yam Lais, she's not gonna have another carbon. So in that case that we just described, a Leida, real Leida on January 1st, a miscarriage on March 1st, and another miscarriage on May 1st, she's still going to be chayev at the end of 80 days for May 1st, one carbon for all that. Okay. Amar Rav Kana. Rav Kana says, "Shani has mechasa carbon." Rav Kana is explaining the brisa, and he says the reason why there was an issue to understand why she's not going to mechayev a second carbon. L'chayra, she's long out of the 80 days from her original leida on Jan 1. The answer is because she couldn't bring the carbon yet. Since she could never bring the carbon for the first leida, it's considered to be still teich malais, and therefore all the other subsequent miscarriages are included, and she's only mechayev one carbon. Says the Gemara, "Abhasam nami mechasa harav shemesh." The question is, if that's your lumdis, so even by the first case, we said if she has a miscarriage on Yom Elias, she already has to bring a new carbon. But even if she has a miscarriage on Yom Elias, she's still waiting for nightfall. She's still missing nightfall, so that should be considered part of that same first Leda, and she's not mechayev a new carbon until at least the next day. So the Gemara is bothered that why is it considered Yom Elias is saying is mechayev a new carbon? Why don't we say till nightfall she's considered part of the first count? Answers Abaye himself. Am Abaye Shimsha Memela Arva. That the sun sets by itself, and therefore, since everything was done on that 81st day, Pasha, talking about the 81st day, since everything was done already, the carbon is ready to be brought, you just have to wait for Erev Shemesh, which comes by itself. Therefore, it's not going to be a concern. The big question the first time I bothered by here is that there is no Erev Shemesh on the 81st day. The Erev Shemesh would have been on the 80th day. On the 81st day, there's really no Erev Shemesh. So what's going on over here? So the rush is bothered by the question, and the Rush explains that we're talking about is the stummiest of the Brisa, the fact that the Brisa doesn't specify, it sounds like the Brisa is not making a distinction whether she was tummy for 14 days and went to the mikveh as soon as possible, or she waited an extra day to go to the mikveh, so she only started her 66 days a day later, which would mean her 81st day is really still part of her count, which is, again, not the, that you don't see it clear in the Brisa, but the Brisa didn't specify that's not the case, and therefore, the 81st day over here is a day that, even though it's fit to ready numbers-wise to be in the carbon, but she still has to wait for Erev Shemesh that night. That could be the case that we're dealing with Erev Shemesh that night. But either way, the main point we're bringing is that Abaye was made to Rava, that Erev Shemesh Mamela Akasi, and therefore that's not a concern. We'll pick it up Mitzvah Shem from the Mishnah tomorrow. We may try to get ahead on Thursday. Tomorrow in Mitzvah Shem is the second class stop, and Thursday is the only one Amid to change. We may try to start Saita on Thursday because Pesach's coming up. We have a 3-day Antiv. We may want to get ahead. We definitely do want to get it, Mirtz Hashem, at least one daf ahead before Pesach in order to account for the 3-day outdiv. Have a wonderful day.